Twickenham CC podcast. My name's Dan Huff. I'm secretary of the club. It's great to be back with another edition of the TCC pod. The smell of freshly cut grass has been wafting around these parts. It's been pretty decent weather-wise. The cricket season's not too far away. Let's forget the fact that snow is actually in the forecast for the next week. Let's gloss over that. We'll soon be playing league cricket again. With that in mind, two hardy souls are with me this evening as ever, although in slightly odd places. We've got a South African in Southwest London and a Southwest Londoner in South Africa, which seems a little bit the wrong way around. But Donners, explain yourself. You're not in the country, right?
No. Hello, first of all. I'm in just north of Pretoria at the moment in South Africa. Spending a few days over here with Tessa for her niece's wedding next week in Cape Town. So we're in Pretoria at the moment, staying with her dad on a game reserve, which is quite entertaining. And heading off to Cape Town next week.
I believe you had a reasonably close encounter with a boom slang, which I'd not heard of until it was mentioned just a few minutes ago off air. What's going on there with a boom slang when it's at home?
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard of one before, and I would quite happily have not had an encounter with it this evening. But it was a sort of a meter and a bit, probably 1.3 meter long, highly venomous snake that was just outside on the patio. So that was this evening's entertainment. But we had a close encounter with three giraffes this morning, so that was far more less life-frightening. So that was good. But I would quite happily never see one of those snakes again.
So if I got this right, and I'll go to our South African expert on all things South African, including snakes, I hope, Eugene Berger, club chairman. Boomslang's huge. If one of them came for you, how long have you got?
Evening all. And yeah, you've got about 12 hours, but they're not normally attacking snakes. They normally run away instead of run towards. Not the nicest thing to encounter. But it's interesting to hear Donners was in his.
You're gone.
Yeah. You've got to have the antidote. You've got to have the anti-venom and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's nice. You know, most things in South Africa that are animals will kill you. Except for giraffes, obviously, because, you know, Donna sounded quite at home at, coming to a close encounter with them.
I mean, I shared a photo with Dan earlier, and he came back and just said, well, that's great, but which one are you? So they were
it wasn't clear to me.
Right.
Yeah. They were remarkably close.
Donna was the one who looked like he might be limping, so yeah,
we're going to need to get that photo and stick it on Instagram then. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send that to you separately, Huge.
Marvellous. And you're well. Southwest London is treating you well. You've had a good winter and all that business.
Extremely well. And as you can see, if you're watching on Instagram, my complexion is very brown because I've spent pretty much the whole week working outdoors. With the new circumstances of being able to work from home or work remote, I was fortunate enough to spend the most of the week in the garden. So yeah, I am, you know, got a little bit of the sun, got sun-kissed, a nice brown complexion, getting ready for cricket season. And yeah, I mean, you know, as good as you can get for cricket season, right? I've been netting, well, most of us have been netting, you know, from about the middle of January. So we've got our last net session on Thursday at the Oval, and then we move to outdoor on Saturday, which sounds bonkers considering it's on Saturday.
It's coming up fast, but keep an eye on that forecast, mate. This week's going to be fruity. So take your gloves, your scarf and your hat when you go for the first outdoor net. But you wouldn't expect it to be any different, would you, right?
No,
you
know, not at all.
Netting outside at the beginning of April.
Well, I do remember last year when we were doing the junior camps, it did snow on one of the days and close to the Easter holiday. So, yeah, I'm fully expecting that again.
All the fun of the fact. I remember a game involving Lancashire that was being played at Buxton, so it must have been against Derbyshire in June of one year. Well, that was, that was snow's not play there in June. You know, crazy, really, crazy. Somewhere we didn't have any snow, and we could have done with some, quite frankly, was in the Caribbean. Now, this is a family show, folks, so let's try and avoid too many naughty words. But did you see any of the cricket in the West Indies, fellas? What did you think?
Fortunately, I didn't see very much, but then in fairness, there wasn't very much to see.
Yeah, where does one start?
We talked about it at length on a previous podcast, and I think It's just shambolic. You know, there's so much wrong with English cricket. It's coming home to roost now. Do I think Joe Root should captain England? Probably not. But then who takes over? I think we're really, really... Surely it can't get any lower. I mean, no disrespect to the West Indies, but they're not a great test side. And they've just made us look...
Careful.
They've just made us look, you know, stupid. Shocking. Really bad. It can only get better. Please. It can only get better.
One thing that occurred to me is we did talk about this on a previous pod, that the fact that Joe Root was scoring hundreds for fun for quite a sustained period of time did sort of mean that we would get 300, 400 without anybody really doing much to help him. If Joe Root got injured or stopped scoring runs, then we sort of said, we've got a preordained problem here. And you know what?
Yeah.
We've got a preordained problem here because Joe Root stopped scoring runs. Huge, what did you make of it? Have you seen a lot of it?
Yeah, I mean, like most of the people listening to this podcast, I watched pretty much all of it. And I mean, I didn't quite understand the selection policy when they went to the West Indies. They couldn't score 300 in Australia, so they dropped their two bowlers that bat 10 and 11, because clearly they were the ones that were the problem in terms of scoring the runs.
Oh yeah.
Well, you could argue that, yes, because then Leach and Mahmood did top score in the last game. So yeah, I mean, maybe that was the right answer. But yeah, first of all, the selection policy I think was pretty poor. And then secondly, yeah, I mean, you know, the bowlers that they did take just weren't penetrable. They didn't sort of, you know, they weren't able to take wickets consistently. I did have a little chuckle though. I saw the Barmy Army complaining about how flat the wickets were in the first and second tests, saying they won't be coming back because, do you know what, trying to get as much money out of them to make sure that the test lasts 5 days is not just cricket. And then the third test came along, which obviously those messages on Twitter have not aged well at all. But yeah, I mean, look, it's, you know, England's in a bad place at the moment, and you know, they've got tests coming up in New Zealand and South Africa, I think it is, and I think India too in the summer. And look, you know, there has to be changes. What those changes will look like, we don't know. But, you know, there has to be a change of some sort. And I suppose we'll keep our eyes peeled. But what did you think of it, Dan, more importantly, as somebody that probably did watch a lot of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, it's on at the perfect time. It's on sort of late afternoon to you know, sort of 9-10 o'clock in the evening. So I mean, I didn't watch as much of it as I might have done. Because, you know, politically with young families, and I can't quite watch 7 hours of it straight, but I certainly watched enough of it to get very grumpy. I mean, a whole host of things. One thing I would say is I'm not entirely sure who should be batting in the top six anymore, because none of them seem able to score any runs. So I haven't got a list of five players who have to come in, and I don't think anybody else has really, which worries me. And particularly as people normally get better when they're not playing. You know, the rhetoric always is that, oh, if we'd have had X, it'd have been different. If we'd have had Ben Folkes, it'd have been different. Well, we have got Ben Folkes now, and it's not much different, really, although he's a better keeper than Josh Butler. But even then, I felt that it was all a bit weird, really, because I don't think we are actually that bad. But boy, did we look that bad. And we played some very poor cricket, some poor shots. Felt a bit sorry for Lees. He's trying to bat a long time. I think he's got to score a few more runs, if I'm brutally honest. He's got to score a bit of a better rate, which might seem pot and kettle coming from me, someone who scored very slowly myself. But I think sooner or later you're going to get a ball with your name on it. So to face, you know, to score at 25% or whatever it is, you know, I just think it's a bit slow. And I think ultimately that's something that could be put right, because he did hang around for quite a long time. There are other things that annoyed me, though, Yush, I'm being perfectly honest. The Barbados test. Now, I get it. England fans love to go to Barbados. But I hated watching it. And it wasn't just because it was a dull test. I hated watching a stadium with 99% of the people from England. And 99% of the people were of the same colour. They were the same sort of social class. They had the same amount. They had all had the same sort of size belly. And I just felt it. This isn't what West Indies cricket is supposed to be. But then I remembered I went to the West Indies in whenever it was, 2007 for the World Cup. And no one from the West Indies went to watch the games. And I thought, well, is it they're all too expensive? And they're not that expensive. And I feel West Indies cricket really does look to try and generate as much money as it can. And I'm not surprised that the Barmy Army were moaning about Barbados. But, you know, they keep feeding the beast. They keep feeding the beast. And it did at least go 5 days, which the final game didn't. So everything about that Barbados test I found difficult. It was basically full of English people. There was no sort of West Indian flavour to the game at all. And it was boring. Mm. You know, it wasn't really the perfect cocktail for someone like me, if I'm perfectly honest. Where do we go from here? Well, we draw yet another line. We have quite a few of those lines being drawn. We've got to draw yet another one. And we got to think about the basics of what we're doing, because something's going quite fundamentally wrong. Funnily enough, I thought Folks' run out was the prime example of it. You know, going for a kamikaze two, getting run out. And did he really need to do that? So I think that it is a draw of the line thing. But we need to have a serious rethink about it, because we're going to keep embarrassing ourselves if we carry on like this. New Zealand are a competent side. And, you know, South Africa are sort of up and down, but they've got bits that could cause us problems. So the problems are deep, and I don't know what the answer is, basically, where I am, which is all very depressing. But as an outsider looking in, Yuge, what would you do next?
Play some county cricket. Pick whoever's scoring runs at the beginning of the season. Pick who's taking wickets. Stop the selection.
Well, Jimmy Anderson, we played for Lancashire. He said as much, hasn't he?
So and Brodie for Nottingham. So, yeah, I mean, they've done their pre-seasons and all that. Again, I think that's the only thing you can do now. I suppose, first of all, you need to select, you need to get your structure back in place, because I think everybody's, you know, I heard that Rob Key's been approached to do the ECB managing director role. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that, you know, there's obviously the coach that needs to still be selected as well as Paul Collingwood did. I don't think he's the right person for the test. I think he's the right person for the one days, by the way, but that's a different conversation. And then just select people on merit. And the reason I say that is because you look at Myers, he was perfect for that thing. And I think I put in one of our social groups on the TCC chat that Darren Stevens would have had a fifer by now. You know, the selection for the future. I don't get it. Mm. I just don't. You know, pick who is taking wickets and, you know, scoring runs right now, because otherwise, you know, the country's going to be up in arms as they are now.
And the captaincy?
I still think Joe Root's the right person. I don't think he's been given the right people to make him successful. You know, I think that he's doing the right thing. I think he's making the right decisions. I just don't think things have gone his way. And it's not because I don't think there's anyone else, because this is going to be a proper left field. I think if he steps down, I think Stuart Broad should do it.
Can't get in the team at the moment.
Well, I think he's going to be the first name on the team sheet. He would have been the first name on the team sheet. Well, second, because Jerry's obviously scored, you know, runs for fun. Stuart Broad for me, he's 32. You know, I just don't understand how he wasn't there. And
is he only 32?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think he was older than that.
He might be 34, but I think the question that came in, and I was listening to commentary on one of the days, was, you know, if they were selecting for the future, then why was Chris Wokes there? Because, you know, he's in the same sort of, he's 35 actually, so apologies here. I thought he was 32, but yeah, I think maybe it was Chris Wokes that was 32, but from my perspective, you know, he's still good enough. Again, you know, that's just my sort of take on it. And yeah, I don't see any of the others. Well, you know, they selected players that kept getting injured while they were out there. Wood's out for the, you know, for the remainder of the season by the sounds of things. It's just everybody's breaking down. So where do you go to? You've got to go back to the old guard, because they're probably still the fittest. And, you know, they know how to manage their bodies, because, well, they've got longevity exactly like they've done right now.
I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in that, isn't there? I mean, I sort of get the planning ahead. You know, I get the idea that you've got to build a team to look to the future, whatever the future may be. You've got to have your longer term goals, as well as your medium term, as well as your short term. But I haven't got a clue what they are. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know what these longer term goals are, other than, you know, Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson are getting a bit old. Well, what exactly is the plan with the batting? And I'm not so worried about the bowling, even though it's not been brilliant. I just don't see too many runs out there. I mean, Johnny Bairstow scores 100, and it came as a shock to my system that somebody else had scored 100 other than Joe Root. I can't help but think that's the problem. We don't get enough runs on the board. And in terms of the captaincy, I get the angle. If Joe Root wants to carry on doing it, he does it. I don't think there's anybody knocking the door down. But if he doesn't want to do it, then I'm not sure he should either, because it clearly... No, it looks like it may be affecting his batting, or it may just be that we all go through ups and downs. That could happen too. Donners, if you had to, so if Root went, where would you go?
For a new captain?
Ben Stokes.
Right. Yeah. I think Ben Stokes is a great cricketer. I think he's got a great cricket brain, but I would just worry that that's too much on his shoulders. And yeah, Stuart Broad is a bit left field, but I agree with you, Jim, that he's going to be in the team. So, you know, maybe that's what you do. Maybe you pick 11 players and then you pick the best captain out of that in the short term. I don't know. I mean, I don't. Joe Root has to play as a batsman. No question about that. I'm just not sold on him being captain. But equally, there is no obvious candidate for someone to come in. So it's an interesting summer. It's an interesting summer. It could go horribly wrong, but let's hope not.
But captaincy is an odd thing, right? You know, there's never a logical replacement until one evolves. And we've seen that all levels of cricket. We've seen it at Twickenham Cricket Club. You know, sometimes someone, you think, oh, there's just no one to replace them. And funnily enough, I remember when Reg stepped down as captain of the first team, you know, in whatever it was, 1973 or whatever it was. And we thought, we don't know who's captain. Oh, is it that bloke Nunes? He said he's keen, but I don't know, I'm not sure about it. And I don't know what happened to him as a captain. Seemed to hang around a bit, didn't he?
14 years,
you know, 14 years later, he's still there, and he's, you know, he's been absolutely phenomenal. So I always think there's an element of what do we do, and someone evolves, and surely international level, we would give someone the chance to evolve, right? And I don't know the characters of these players, and I think the tendency to give it to the best player should be avoided. Just give it to the right man, whoever he may be. You know, the old Mike Brearley thing back in 1981. Give it to the best guy who can get stuff out of other people. But I don't envy the people who are making this decision, that choice. But at the same time, they've sort of got themselves into a mess. It's their job to get it right, or get it right-ish. And they don't seem to have done it so far. And I find that really depressing.
You've got it spot on there, though, Dan. Who makes those decisions? Because they haven't got that structure to make those decisions right now. They're looking for, you know... Yep. New managing directors, they're looking for new coaches. You know, these should all be in place by the time the summer comes along, and therefore, you know, they should have a good working relationship with the captain, because they're going to be, you know, the mainstay and the backbone of the team, making all the important decisions.
Yeah,
we'll see. Gary Kirsten might be up for a role, who knows?
Well, his name keeps popping up, doesn't it? Although, you know, for the coming season, I mean, I haven't got the information in front of me, but the domestic season starts when exactly?
7th of what, April.
2 weeks?
So two weeks time, yeah.
You know, and we don't really have any idea, well, I don't have any idea anyway, about what the big plan is for English Red Bull cricket, other than it's going to be a reset of the reset. Well, that's nice. What does that mean? Yeah. And I really don't
the
know.
The new dawn. It was no new dawn.
Yeah. Must have missed the first one. Yeah, but there we go. But it can always be worse, right?
I thought you were going to go down there. Yes, Dan, it most certainly can be worse. You could have to qualify for World Cup 50 over matches still. I mean,
talk us through that. What's going on?
We'll play Bangladesh.
For those who don't know, South Africa are in a bit of trouble there in terms of, well, in terms of some of their recent
results. I think we're in ninth in the ICC rankings at the moment. I stand to be corrected. It was bonkers because I think they showed a stat on Sky, the average of our top six batsmen, the worst stat we had was 65 as an average.
Crikey.
I'm not kidding when I say that. And yet...
Why do people know that about you?
Well,
isn't that a thing?
Look, stats mean nothing apparently, because do you know what? You can lose a series 2-1 quite easily. It was just unbelievable. And look, well played to Bangladesh. I mean, there were some big decisions that they made. A number of their players were looking to play in the IPL, but instead went and chose to go and play, especially the guy that got the man of the series. He was looking. They convinced him not to go to the IPL so he could play this in the series. And, you know, he said, look, you know, yes, the IPL is important, but look what you've just done here. You've won us a series, which is, you know, considering the strides Bangladesh have made in the past 12 months. I mean, firstly beating New Zealand in a home test and now winning a series in South Africa and beating South Africa 2-1. It's a phenomenal effort from them, and it's great for world cricket to see more of the, you know, I don't want to call them Associated Nations, but the up and comers, you know, to beat. I suppose we now are the up and comers because we're in ninth place.
Well, it's funny you say that, though. We talked about this in a previous pod, didn't we, about the bangers, when I was mentioning that they were quietly doing very well in New Zealand, and that one they got thumped in the test after I mentioned that, but nonetheless, they won one. But I mean, I went to Bangladesh many years ago, and you can't really underestimate how obsessed they are with cricket. And there's a lot of people in Bangladesh. Now, clearly, there's a lot of people, a lot of problems as well. But as a country, they should have done better than they've done so far. And, I'm not saying ever that it's a matter of time, because sometimes it just never happens for places. But if ever an up-and-coming nation, if you want to call them that, was going to do well, it should be Bangladesh. They've got all the kit. And when they want to, they play some bloody good cricket.
Yeah, I mean, I think they scored huge runs in the first game, and then they just sort of, the second game South Africa won quite easily, bowled first, and then in the third game, bowled us out for 150 and chased it one down in 30 overs. So, gave us a close series, it was an absolute thumping.
And it wasn't just in South Africa that cricket was being played. Usually we had some pretty good stuff served up by Pakistan and Australia, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because you could argue it was the same stuff that was being played in the West Indies and England, right? I mean,
it's pretty flat, right? Yeah.
What, 750 for four in the first test or something Pakistan scored?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a run fest all over. Look, great to see a good contest between bat and ball. And I suppose more importantly, some phenomenal bowling with some frontline seamers and a world-class spinner. So, yeah, on both sides, by the way, not just on the Australian side, who ended up taking the series 1-0. But, yeah, phenomenal to watch again. I mean, you could argue, again, the pitches are too flat. And it's, for one, it's great to see cricket in Pakistan again. How good was that, first of all?
It's phenomenal.
I've been the sort of cricket badger I am. I watched a lot of that too. And, yeah, it was good to catch up on how well those guys were doing. And Usman Khawaja with Pakistan heritage scoring runs for fun.
Yeah. But even then, the point is not that test match cricket should be 150 v 200 v 150. It's that certainly in the game I saw most of, Pakistan were out pretty cheaply in their first innings, right? I can't remember exactly, 160 maybe. Then Australia scored about 900. Anyway, Pakistan needed a lot of runs, 500 in the final innings.
Yep.
And nearly got it.
They did.
And I thought, and it could have gone either way. And it was one of those ones where I thought, a tie is even on the radar here. I mean, it didn't quite go that far. But we genuinely had all four results on the table. That's proper cricket, right?
At one stage, I thought that when Babar Azam and Rizwan were in, they needed 180 runs to win. I was going... Yep. Pakistan are going to win this game. It's going to be one of those all-time great test matches. And then...
Babar looked absolutely phenomenal, didn't he? I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And look, they lost those wickets. And then I think that was the test that went to the draw. They ended up, not being able to take the last...
443 for seven at the end of it, Pakistan. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, a really nice tight ending to that... the second test match, I think it was. But great watching... Again, I enjoyed watching the England test matches. It's just, there was just some better techniques and maybe some better bowlers on show.
Yep. Well, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Yeah, in the end, England are not good enough.
Yep.
And in those games, Australia managed to dig something out, and then Pakistan dug something out. Whether it was Australian bowlers who came to the party to bowl Pakistan out, or whether it was Babar, scoring 190 odd off how many balls, 400 balls. So I think the quality made the games ultimately much more interesting. And I don't think there's that much quality in the England team. And I really think that's the issue. We ain't good enough, and that's not going to change overnight. And I think the Pakistan-Australian series showed that a little bit, because they did have match winners who did periodically pop up, even on flat pitches. Mm. Did you see much of it yourself, Donners?
No, agreed. England, no, not really, but I don't disagree with what you said. I think, in a nutshell, England are not good enough at the moment, and it's going to take some time to improve that. The change has to happen. It has to happen now, because we cannot keep drifting along, getting worse. It's just ridiculous. So change, make it happen. Let's start improving. End of.
Yeah, let's pick it up. We've got to do something, as we said before. One other tournament's going on, fellas. I'm sure you've been following this. It is the Women's World Cup. And if I've got this right, Yuge, it's an England-South Africa semi-final on Thursday morning, is it? Is it not?
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. England squeezed in to that one, thanks to some phenomenal end results that went their way, as well as some phenomenal performances they had. I mean,
they started, you know, what a bounce though, to be fair, didn't they?
I think they lost three on the bounce. Yeah, they lost three on the bounce. And then yeah, what a great comeback to obviously get through to the semi-finals, and you know, now playing against South Africa on Thursday, as you say.
Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs of who's particularly good and who's not so good in the women's 50 over game, but in that game, are England favourites, or is that, we probably are favourites as world champions, right?
No. South Africa ended up, I mean, we did play against England and beat England. So South Africa played, the England woman played against the South African woman. South African woman won. They chased down this morning, I think, 270 odd against India in the last ball of the match, which then knocked them out of the World Cup and made West Indies qualify, the West Indies woman. So quite a bit going on there. So I think the two semi-finals are Australia versus West Indies, and then the English versus the South Africans. And yeah, I mean, I think the two favourites going into it all, I think South Africa lost one match throughout the tournament. I don't think the Aussies lost the match at all. And then obviously, you know, they were graded 1 and 2, and I suppose the West Indies and England are sort of the next best. So, but you know, it's knockout cricket now. Anything can happen. Whatever happens on the day.
I was going to say, I'm getting out there right now. England win by 8 wickets. Semi-finals, just bonkers. Who knows what's going to happen? And given that England have been nowhere in this tournament, have risen from the dead, and South Africa have done so well, it's got England win all over it. And I may even be up early enough to see the end of it, because it's, you know, these times are not wonderful.
So are you saying England-West Indies final, and the England women do what the men couldn't do?
There would be a logic to being an England-West Indies final, that's for sure. And if it is, I'll definitely be watching.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I have to say that the Australian women look phenomenal. They do look phenomenal. And again, you know, I've sort of got my eye on South Africa doing quite well there. I have to say, I think South Africa might win it. But the one thing that you always learn about South Africa when it comes to knockout tournaments,
semi-final,
and I'm saying it's the men that normally have this problem, and the women will not have the problem.
I can still see Alan Donald running down the Birmingham, into Birmingham High Street there on 1999. Oh God, what a mess that was against Australia. But
absolutely.
Big time. Yeah. I was going to mention one other thing, actually. I don't know if you saw one of the earlier games. Nat Skipper, who of course we talked to on the Twickenham CC social way back in the lockdown days. She got out in rather a ridiculous way. She went for a pull. It came off the back of the bat, went sort of over her own head, and was caught by first slip. Did you see that one at all?
Yeah, it was probably one of the most strangest dismissals I've seen. It sort of hit her thigh pad, and on the way following through, caught the back of her bat and went to first slip. Yeah. So, yeah, probably the most strangest dismissal that you'll come across. I mean,
and the early,
it's almost as bad as...
And the easiest first slip catch you will ever have, because it just...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Basically. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me think, though, fellas. I mean, we've all played between us, you know, quite a lot of cricket over the years. Have you seen any other dismissals that beat that, or weird and wonderful things that have happened that have led to people being dismissed? Is anything that comes to mind? I've never quite seen that happen before, what happened to Nat Skipper, but I've seen one or two other weird and wonderful bits and bobs. You guys?
Yeah. There's been, I think one of our members has been, hasn't there been a Mankad or something?
Oh, my God. It's been do we mentioned have to before? Go there again? Yeah. I'll have Neal.
No, we don't. No. But you know, if someone didn't mention it, I'm sure one of the listeners would have.
And Neal reacted perfectly. He didn't really care. He's never mentioned it since, as far as I'm aware. Not.
No, absolutely.
I haven't heard him mention it ever again. Yeah.
Well, no, I think the strangest thing, the obvious thing that's happened to me, I have actually been run out backing up at the non-strikers end, which I wasn't very happy about.
What, Mankad? What do you mean proper run out?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, proper run out. As in, I know, actually, thinking about it, Lurch rang me out on the green before on a Sunday without me facing a ball.
Nice.
I was absolutely done up like a kipper as well.
Did you still pay your 12 pounds?
Yeah, thanks very much. Didn't get a bowl either. Great day. those are the two that stick in my mind. So, thanks, Lurch.
Well, yeah, I hope he's listening to that one. All good. Yuge, how about you? Have you seen any weird and wonderful bits?
I've never been involved in them. I've seen two on TV, funny enough. I'm sure you remember this, and if you think, you know, if you think back to them, the first is when somebody bounced AB de Villiers and hurt him and he fell onto his stumps.
Ooh.
So there's that one. And the second, also another bouncer, knocked somebody's helmet off and landed on the stumps.
Okay.
Those are the two sort of weird and wonderful dismissals that I've seen.
Did the person with the helmet have a strap on? Because there was this thing.
Yeah, it snapped.
Oh, snapped.
It snapped, yeah. Yeah, because he was interviewed. I forget who it was. I think it was an Australian. Maybe our listeners can correct us. But I suppose there was one that, I don't want to say a dismissal, but an interesting one in that you were involved in, Dan, with Dom Thamby, in how we won a game on the green.
Oh.
Not necessarily a dismissal.
I think so,
Yeah, so the one that, you know, Dom Thamby on strike, bowler comes in.
Four runs to win the game. Dom's 11.
Correct.
Yes. I'd taken a decision to take a single and thought, right, come on, Dom.
Yeah.
Get yourself together. We need to get through this over, and we've got another two overs to go. And then?
Not going to mention the club or the players, but I mean, he nicks it to the keeper. The keeper, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, is not able to hold on, rolls through his legs and hits the helmet. And that's where the infamous photo of Dan Hoff with his hands up in the air, celebrating the win of how we won that cricket game. So not necessarily getting out, but that is up there with the strangest thing I've ever seen on a cricket
game. Doing an Irish jig, if I'm not very good at Irish jigs at the best of times, but yeah, that's sort of what it looked like. Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of bits with that. First of all, the keeper, I'm going to name it Southgate. We always have good games against Southgate. It'd been brilliant all day, and yet suddenly one went right through the cymbals and hit the lid. And the second thing is, Dom didn't know the rule, did he? So he wasn't sure we'd won. I had to talk him through the rules to explain that we won the game. And to be fair, you might not. It's one of the more obscure ones, isn't it? But he probably picked it up when he saw me, you know, doing a bit of a Daniel O'Donnell dance or whatever you call him.
But we digress, Dan. What about your weird dismissal?
Well, I've had one myself, and I mentioned in a previous pod, and if, you know, folks, I think you were playing in the game, Hughes, that... I chased a wide against Austerlee, very thin outside edge, and being a walker, I just thought, shit, you know, I better get off to the pavilion. And of course, the umpire, Mr. Stuart Amos, very good umpire, in and near him. And it was very, 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 very wide. So he gave a wide. And I'm like, oh, geez, this is a mess. And he was at the end, for those of people who know Twickenham Green, he was at the pavilion end. So he had to turn to the pavilion to give the wide, which means he couldn't see me walking. And it like took an eternity for it all to, well, in my mind, to pan out. But so, yeah, I walked off a wide, basically, and I was out. So I kept on walking. And that was a comment. But what I was thinking of as well it was back in Shropshire where someone had got injured, right, a batter. So you had a runner in pursuit, and runners always cause chaos, right? And what a lot of people forget is if you've got a runner, all three people out there can be out, right? So the runner is not facing, so he's gone to square leg. Sorry, the guy who's injured is not facing, so he's gone to square leg. So you've got the other batter and the guy who's coming to run, and he's at the non-striker's end. And basically, the boy comes in to bowl. The batter sort of plays a forward defensive, you know, immaculate forward defensive. It goes out to sort of short cover, 7 or 8 yards away. And short cover picks the ball up, wangs it at the stumps at the batsman's end, knocks all three over. The batsman's like, what exactly was the point of that then? You know, because I'm in the ground. He's like, I know you are. Look over there, he ain't. And the striker was like 10 yards out. He'd just gone for a meander.
Wow.
He didn't realise that he thought he was just like, you know, waiting to take part in the game again. But he was like sort of halfway to the boundary, chatting to his mates or whatever. And of course he was out. It all kicked off. But the umpire's very clear, you know, he's gone. So I was only about 15 at the time. I got a clue what was happening. But it was, it was left field. It was entertaining one.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the more odd ones.
Just one other that has come to mind listening to those stories there. I think it was actually Ian Botham when he was playing professionally and someone bounced him. He took evasive action, I think, and actually went to step back on his stumps and tried to step over them and actually caught the bell. So he was out hit wicket. But the reason I'm saying this is because I think it led to that quite ridiculous situation on the radio with Brian Johnson and
his leg over Donna's, if I remember.
Both of them couldn't quite get his leg over.
Yeah.
And that's quite an entertaining clip on YouTube. If you haven't heard it, it's worth listening to because they completely lose it for God knows how long.
Yeah, fantastic. They couldn't say a word. Really funny. And Jonas was laughing, Brian Johnson, may rest in peace, and his laugh kept getting higher. And, and it's like, what the hell is going on here?
And Jonathan Agnew was trying to summarise the game, trying to be as professional as ever, and in the end just basically said, Johnson said, Aggers, do stop it, or something like that.
Yep.
But it was really was quite entertaining.
All good stuff. I'm sure I can think of a few more, actually, I'll put my mind to it. But there are plenty of odd things happening on cricket fields, aren't there? And the more you think about it, the more you remember. One of the great things about our game, I guess. Cool, bringing it a bit closer to home, Yuge. As we've said, I mean, if I got this right, we're recording on Sunday night, I'm pretty sure counties are in action tomorrow. I think they're in action against universities. I think there's some MCCU games going on. So the season is with us. You know, we're in.
Yeah.
So what's happening around the club? What do we need to know? What's to look out for?
I mean, we're pretty much all seasons go come the 2nd. I mean, we start on the 2nd with our nets on Twickenham Green. So if you are looking to come down and net, we'll be there from 2 until 5. Good 3-hour session, as long as the weather is half decent and not chucking down with rain. We're netting on Thursdays from 6 until the sun's gone, which, as the clocks have now sprung forward, it was light until probably just gone half 6, maybe close to 7 tonight, which was quite nice. So there'll be nets on Thursdays too for those that can't make a Saturday because of family commitments with weekends and some people still playing football, as an example. And then our first game is on the 10th. So, yeah, I mean, Sunday the 10th of April.
The traditional season opener, Englefield Green away. I think all three of us must have played in that fixture. Certainly I played in that fixture with you, Donners, a few times in years gone by. I'm not sure how to put it really, but a gentle season opener. You know, it's not one where you'd expect to see, you know, necessarily Monty turning up or anything like that. But yeah, always a good day. And Englefield Green, from memory, do a fantastic tea. So for no other reason than that, it's probably worth getting involved in. And how do people give you their availability? Is it via Pichero?
Pichero, as per normal. So, you know, make sure that you talk to your captains, which I'm sure you'll go through in a second, Dan. Pichero is the centre of all truth, or the source of all truth. All the fixtures are up, all of the training sessions are up too, so please stick your availability in there so we know roughly how many people are going to be coming down. Pichero is the single source of truth.
Yep, and I very much agree with talk to your captains, but they cannot remember everything. You know, some of them, I'm not going to name any names, but they can't remember what day of the week it is, let alone who's available, just because they told them three months ago. So in all seriousness, but put it on the website, because then it's easier to pick teams. And it's very easy to get missed out if you've not given us the official record of this. So that's the way to go. In terms of the captains, we had the AGM, obviously, when Carlos Nunes was pretty predictably re-elected. Good to see Nicol Vishvanath, who, of course, is getting married on Easter Sunday. Nicol, I hope that goes well. I'm sure it will do. I think, isn't Ashi getting married as well, when I think about it?
Nash is getting married further later on in the season, but yes, Nash is getting married.
Yeah, so wedding's coming thick and fast, all good. And so Nicol Vishvanath will be doing the twos. But we then had somebody chuck another name into the AGM, which is perfectly fine. That's what members can do. And that meant that it got a little bit complicated as to how we were going to do voting, because we had a dual AGM. We had people online, we had people in the room. And so rather than go through a potentially disastrous, from my perspective, a secretary in terms of getting voting sorted, AGM, we basically allowed a reopening of nominations for all the threes, fours and fives, because we figured that it might make a difference as to who was the threes captain, as to who might then chuck their hat in the ring for fours and fives. So nominations were reopened. We had Hine Dasani was nominated for the threes, Neil Tomar for the fours, and Harmeet Singh for the fives, and they were all duly elected into position. So I'm just in the process of getting hold of the dude who updates the honours boards. So all being well, names should be there for the beginning of the league season. So the five captains now, very much in place. If you're not sure who they are, then do look them up at one of the training sessions, and they'll make you very welcome.
Absolutely, yeah. And pre-season starts too, pretty much straight after that. I mean, we've got the usual 16th of April, 1st 11 against Epsom. How long has that been played for?
Oh, well, I arrived in 2003 and it was being played then, and it's always goddamn cold. So bring your hat, gloves and scarves, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'd be fun. We've also got an inter-club game or an inter-club lot of games going on the 16th too. So if you aren't able to be available and get selected for the first 11 to go and play at Acton, do not despair. We will be playing cricket on Twickenham Green, testing out the new cameras that we're going to be using alongside our new scoring system, which is NV Play, which integrates into Play Cricket, and it's ECB backed. So that'll be good. We'll have two cameras, one from each side, which will be
cameras
good fun.
Great news, by the way. I've seen a little bit of this. They look fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. In 4K. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see everything. It should be fun. And then on to the, 23rd and 30th for the remaining two pre-season fixtures. I think ones and twos are playing against North London. Threes are playing against North London too, actually. And then on the 30th, ones and twos are playing against Maldon Wanderers.
Maldon Wanderers, Yeah.
And then the threes are away at Austerlee. So, yeah, full, lot of fixtures going on. I'm sure there are other fixtures that I'm forgetting. It's just the ones off the top of my head, as I've managed to see and have a look at them earlier tonight when I was looking at people's availability.
And to stress, if we suddenly find that we've got 55 people available, then we'll do our best to get relevant fixtures. It's what we don't want to do is organise loads of fixtures, then call them off. That looks bad both for us and for whoever we're supposed to be playing. So get your availability down, and if it suddenly looks good, then we're in.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yep. And then, yeah, straight onto the season. I mean, before we know it, 7th of May, we're going to be playing league cricket. I think that's coming around sooner rather than later. And more importantly, as I say, the clocks are going forward, so there's more light now. Get to see more people.
Absolutely. Yep. And sort of off the field, we're looking at one or two changes in the pavilion. And to stress, you're going to talk about the bar in a sec, right? The bar is going to be fully functional. I don't, before anyone gets any worried about this, there's going to be plenty of stuff served over the bar. But it might be in a slightly different way used, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our bard extraordinaire, person that looks after everything club related, Nigel Gordon, has been on the case. He's got in touch with the brewery. We're having new chillers put in for effectively additional lines to go in. So there'll be more availability. I think at the moment we currently have, I think it's 5 or 6 taps, going up to 10 taps in total. So we're going to have a lot more availability
carnage,
and selection going
carnage
in.
Carnage incoming. I can see it already. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, yeah, a bit of a bar rejig to make sure that we can fit all of those 10 taps, because for those of you that have been to the bar, of which there's plenty of you, you will know that putting 10 taps on the front of that bar will not work. So we're moving it to the back bar. So we're actually going to have a beer wall instead now. It should be a nice change to the club, just to make sure that we can, provide our members with the greatest possible selection.
Excellent. Last thing I wanted to say, I'm not quite sure how many parents of juniors listen to the pod. I hope a few do. But of course, the junior cricket is slowly getting ready to rumble into action. The All-Stars for the under-8s, we're kicking off on the 24th of April, 12 weeks of unadulterated madness, I can say from experience, having sort of spent a year coaching in the All-Stars. But all good. I think there's still a few places available. If folks want to get involved, then get in touch. If you want to get involved and help as well, then you'll be welcome with open arms. Me or you, very much a point of access there should you have questions or queries.
And then also the under-9s to under-14s, I think it is, on Friday night from the 22nd of April. So, Liam and Paul and the team are all running that. I'll probably be down for most of them because I'm quite keen on making sure that all of the parents are well fed. So we'll try and get the bride coming.
Any excuse for a bride.
And there's possibly, I'm looking into this, I don't want to make any promises, but I'm possibly going to see if we can do pizzas. Because not everybody would want a beef burger or a chicken burger. Maybe you'd want a vegetarian pizza or something slightly different.
Hang on. Are you sort of admitting that not everybody's obsessed with brides like you?
It's changing of the age in the way of the world. There's vegetarians and vegans, and there's all sorts of people that have dietary requirements, Dan, and we're going to cater for all of them. Well, as many as we can, maybe not all.
Never let it be said that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm so seriously impressed with that, you knowing about your love for Briars. You know, I remember you telling me that you would always bri on Christmas Day, just out of tradition, no matter where you were in the world. That is
absolutely
impressive. Cool. Good stuff. Now, Donald, you'll obviously be back, you know, to play plenty of cricket. Any ambitions for the season? I think I might have asked this before, but I'm going to ask again. What are you hoping? Obviously, let's assume that the weather plays ball. Let's assume that you stay fit. I appreciate that. May be a big assumption. But what are the aims for the season?
Yeah, just to enjoy the cricket. I think enjoying seeing everyone down at the club. I think it's been a tough couple of years for everybody for a variety of reasons. So, just looking back to getting back playing cricket, decent weather, as you say, injury free, touch wood. And just bring it on. Enjoy the end of the football season, the rugby season, everybody now, and let's just get back into cricket.
I'm sure you will enjoy the end of the football season, Donald. Being a Fulham fan, we don't really say too much about it, but it's been all right, hasn't it?
Yeah, fingers crossed. We're nearly there, fingers crossed. I don't want to get too excited just yet, but hopefully when we speak next time, we'll have some good news.
Job will be done. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. You, Jenny, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I suppose personal ambitions, you know, 500 or 600s again in the first half of the season would be nice.
Yeah.
And then I shall wake up from my dreams. Yeah, absolutely. I do have a question. What is the oldest member to score 100? I've been looking at I can't find anything on stats. Anyway, it's a question for our members to come back to us on. Yeah, what's the oldest? And again, I suppose, let's go league.
Yeah, because that's probably easier to work out. That is, I'm not even sure where to start.
Tough question.
My guess might be someone who could be listening to this pod. I think Colin Blunden has scored 100 in probably the last 4 or 5 years. Because, of course, when Colin gets going, he scores very quickly.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that up. That might be an opening guess. Colin Blunden as a starter for 10. But I'm going to probably look that up and find out it's not true now. But I haven't got anything better than that. Don, has any thoughts?
No. I think Blunders is a good shout, actually. Could be Blunders. Yeah. I don't think Martin Fairn's got a ton, has he? I don't know.
He's got a ton.
He might prove us wrong. Don't know. But I think Blunders, I don't think I can trump Blunders.
You got any suggestions, Hughes?
I was going Colin too, if I'm honest, yeah, because I remember he has scored in at least the past 5 years. He has scored 100. From memory, I'm pretty sure he had, or maybe very close to. But yeah, I think that would be where my money would go.
Usually, I've got so much work on and so many other things I've obsessed with. Then you go and ask a question like this, it's going to, you know,
wait till the next week's question when we record the pod. I've got another one which I'm going to be asking. So yeah, we'll keep them coming.
Fired them in, all good. Fellas, it's
fantastic.
Been a pleasure, as always.
Yep.
Bring on the nets, bring on the cricket, and we'll reconvene to talk about it in great detail in due course. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, all.
Thanks, Dan. Cheers.
Thank you.